All right, welcome back to the Middle Tech Podcast. You've got Evan Knowles here, and this is a Spotlight series with Rhea Shaw. So Rhea has an amazing story that we're looking forward to covering here in Kentucky. Super young founder. It's founded an awesome connected device for the medical space for mothers who are pregnant and want to track contractions. There's so much more that they're doing and so much exciting things to cover. So looking forward to covering her story. Rhea, thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So where are you right now?
So I'm in Atlanta right now because I'm a fourth-year college student.
Yep. So that's part of what we want to cover here. It's you got a really interesting story. You're a student balancing that with startup life, which is startup life in itself is a lot. So looking forward to diving into that. So give us your backstory, kind of the origin of your company Fetal Life, and then we'll take it all the way into kind of where you're at now, which is, like you said, you're in college. And so we'll talk about that, but also focus on your all's product and kind of the difference you're making. So start with your backstory and how it led into Fetal Life.
Yeah. So when I was 15 years old, I heard about my mom's story about when she was pregnant with me. And I realized that she faced a lot of contractions, especially false positive contractions, which drove her and my dad back and forth to the hospital several times, each time, packing their bags, being excited, having their first baby, they're all ready. And every time they would come home disappointed, and instead of having a baby in their hands, they would have an expensive hospital bill, not to mention the added stress, anxiety, tension, all those emotional factors that my mom was facing. And especially as a pregnant mom who was going through the journey for the first time, she didn't know what to expect, what not to expect. So everything was really overwhelming for her. So learning of this story really inspired me to see if, there were other women out there who were facing a similar situation. And sure enough, there's millions of moms across the world who face false positive contractions regularly. And not to mention the other issues like high healthcare costs, access to care, lack of resources for pregnancy. And knowing this information inspired me to invent my first device, which was a patented at-home contraction monitoring device for pregnant women to use. And that is what began the start of Fetal Life.
And so for somebody that has not had a child, might not know how contractions work and why a device would help, kind of go into that and how you're solving that problem.
Yeah, so it took a lot of, initial guidance from my mom to learn about her firsthand journey, but also a lot of research, focus groups with other women who were pregnant. As I was developing the device, I worked with the University of Louisville and also worked with an OBGYN who was the director of the gynecology department at the University of Louisville. So her guidance and their specialty really helped me further understand the pregnancy process, the engineering behind the device development, and also with my research and specifications that I learned about for the device development, how I wanted the device to be. The University of Louisville really helped my vision become a reality. And in the labor and delivery room, I also got to test the device on a robotic mannequin that simulates contractions. So it was, just a really awesome experience to be able to take something that was, a little bit more abstract, especially not having ever had a child before, and really getting to see the full process and turning Fetal Life's devices into a reality.
And you were 15 when you founded this company, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes.
So talk to me about how you even knew starting a company was a thing. Did you have examples of that in your life? How did you come to the decision that you identified that problem, but as a 15-year-old, you're not even in college yet? So, what is that experience like to make a decision to be a founder, and what inspired you to do that?
Yeah, I mean, it takes a village. It started with the support of my parents, who heard my idea, heard my pitch for this contraction device, and suggested that, you know, here are some options you could do with your idea. You could go to a patent lawyer and begin to patent it, or after that, you can look into forming a company. As a 15-year-old, you're still obviously new to all these things, you're learning. So my parents were really key in my journey. And obviously after them, it takes a series of mentors, investors, all these people that came into my life who really helped me and guided me and always supported me and my education throughout this whole process. So I'm very thankful for every single one of them and definitely wouldn't be possible without them. So getting started was definitely the product of all these people and giving me guidance.
Yeah. So you're also, as you mentioned, down in Atlanta in college and school, you found this company super young. So what has your thought pattern been around, you know, the balance of I'm a founder, I've got a product and a company to build, but also I am self-aware enough to know that I'm young and I might still want to go to school. It looks like you're in bioengineering. So talk about, you know, what you're studying and your thought pattern behind why continue with school when you've got a company and how to balance those.
Yeah. So I think it's, I've been very fortunate that everyone on my team, my investors, my mentors, my parents, everyone has been very supportive of my education and always encourages me to pursue a degree, a higher education. And that's also been a lifetime goal of mine as well. So I'm really thankful to be at Georgia Tech right now studying biomedical engineering and minoring in business. And I also was granted a full ride scholarship at Georgia Tech, which, you know, made the deal even sweeter for me. And it's more than I ever could have asked for. So I was really happy to, I'm really happy to be here. Really sad it's my fourth year, but it is really hard to balance a startup while at college, just because you've got so many different things to balance other than just like, you know, startups or your classes, hanging out with your friends, making time for yourself. There's so many different components. But my passion for maternal health, my passion for fetal life, my product, it drives me. And I work part-time during the semester and I work full-time when I have breaks or summers. And I'm very, very thankful that I've got an awesome team behind me who is supporting me all the way. And they are full-time. They're doing an awesome job with the company. And I love that I do get to, you know, be part-time with the company while I'm at college because it is such a big part of my life. And, you know, it really has a big part in why I'm passionate about maternal health because I want to make a difference in the community that's positive.
Yeah, I think you said it in a just a really great, elegant way when you said, you know, it takes a village to do what you're doing because I actually did something very different than you. I went to college and dropped out to build companies. But I was in business. I wasn't in biomedical. You know, I'm a very firm believer that there are certain fields that, you know, college and degrees are very important. And, you know, engineering, medical space are a couple of those. And so if you're wanting to do that the rest of your life and really make a major impact, whether it's medical devices, being a doctor, being an engineer, dealing with high, you know, the stakes are high in those fields. People's lives are at risk. If you're dealing with those, I'm a firm believer that, you know, you got to go through college and get that degree and have that education. I went a different route. And I think that I was in school while I was building companies as well. And I think that what you said there, being a part of a startup, but also balancing the rest of life is really hard. And the fact you're doing it at a young age, but also in the middle of a very difficult, you know, degree at one of the top schools in the country is super impressive. So major kudos to you. And I think you're right. You know, it takes a village to do that stuff. I think this sounds like you have a great team. And most importantly, one thing I realized that when I started my entrepreneurial journey and wanted to drop out of school, you know, the family component is huge. You know, I think, you know, we're blessed to have family that really understands our goals and our passions and supports us. And I really love to see when entrepreneurs have that, because it makes a huge difference. It takes a lot of weight off your shoulders. So kudos to your parents as well for seeing that and supporting you. You started to talk about your team there a bit. How has the team grown? And also talk about, you know, how you're funding this. You mentioned you have full-time employees. You're part-time, but you're full-time when you can be. How have you gone about growing that team to make sure that the support is there, but also the product is being built and your customers are being taken care of, and how are you funding that growth?
Yeah. So right now, our team is, you know, it's one of the best teams I could have asked for. Awesome people to work with and be around. We've got a CEO, Dr. Sunny Dronawat. He's a serial entrepreneur, very well experienced with business and just a great mentor for me personally. And we've also got a chief revenue officer named Rishi Parlikar. We have a chief product officer, Bob Ford. We've got a UI UX designer named Alan Heron. And we also have a technology team that we work with that handles some of the more developmental backend stuff for our products. We have an amazing board who is, you know, very supportive of all of us. And we, you know, one of our board members is former governor Matt Bevin, you know, along with Jay Lawson, who used to be the president of a division at Stryker. We have my dad is a board member, and we have a few other board members and investors. I don't want to miss any names, but you know, Dr. Robbins from Elizabethtown and his team.
Oh, no way. Okay. Very cool. I'm from Utown.
Oh, okay. Do you know them?
I haven't met Dr. Robbins, but very well known in the community. I mean, he's done so many great things as far as investment goes and just putting money back into the community and helping lift up Elizabethtown. But also, you know, I know he's been a part of other successful startups. So it's awesome to hear.
He's just a gem of a person. And he was actually my angel investor. So he was the first one, aside from my parents, to believe in Fetal Life. And more importantly for me, he believed in me, and that meant the world. And you know, just a wonderful person. Now his son-in-law, Sean Schuler, is our board member on behalf of Dr. Robbins. And also another person from his team, Keith Johnson, he's our controller. So, and we also, I mentioned an OBGYN at University of Louisville, Dr. Sarah Petruska. She is like a medical consultant to us who's been helping us with the clinical trials of our device. We have also been, you know, in the past working with Bob Saunders and Jackie Wilmot. So Accelerate Health.
Yep.
Just don't want to miss anyone, but, you know, yeah, our core team is our... Yeah, exactly. It does take a village. Our core team definitely, though, is our CEO, Chief Revenue Officer, Chief Product Officer, and our UI UX developer and the technology team.
Before highlighting our sponsors, we'd just like to state that the views and content shared on this platform do not necessarily reflect those of our show sponsors. Middle Tech is presented by KY Innovation, the Kentucky Cabinet for Economic Development's Office of Entrepreneurship. KY Innovation exists to support and develop Kentucky's startup ecosystem, and we are proud to be supported by an organization whose mission aligns so closely with ours. If you're a founder building in Kentucky, you need to check out the resources that KY Innovation has to offer. You can find more information by clicking the link in our show notes or going to kyinnovation.com.
Middle Tech is sponsored by Bolt Marketing. Take your website to the next level with a website that's built to work. At Bolt Marketing, they're revolutionizing websites for small businesses that are affordable, customizable, and hassle-free. Whether you have a construction company, a boutique clothing store, or you own a hot yoga studio, they have options for you. Click the link in our show notes to explore their marketing options that can transform your marketing and grow your business. And as a personal note, Bolt Marketing built our website, and they were awesome to work with throughout the entire process. We highly recommend working with.
Yeah, I'm so excited for you. Not just because of Fetal Life, but the experience you're getting and the process you're going through, having a board, getting investors, and getting a product to market is just so impressive and exciting. And one piece you didn't touch on there was funding. I know you've gotten grants, and I know that you're responsible for kind of going out and applying for a lot of those grants. I'm sure your team helps, but you know, you're on the front lines of that fundraising. So talk about, you know, where the money's come to help grow this business.
Yeah. So obviously the traditional path of capital investment through investors, like I mentioned, Dr. Robbins, Jay Lawson, they were some of our initial investors. And then after that, we did have other people put in like a portion of an investment, like Mr. Bevin and, you know, some other people. But another major way we got funding was the NIH. We received two NIH grants, a phase one and a phase two. And we also received a couple Kentucky grants, recently the Kentucky matching grant.
Love that. And those are awesome because they're non-dilutive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's big time. I mean, as a founder, like that's all you can wish for right there is some investment that's non-dilutive. That's really great. And, you know, part of, I'm sure that investment is going into product. So you guys have a patent. You were awarded one. And talk about that process of designing the product. Maybe get into some details of what, if somebody's listening, they can picture this product being, and then what the patent is.
Yeah. So we have a contraction monitoring device. It does have a patent for its concept and its design. And basically the contraction monitoring device is very small. It's about like 2 inches by 3 inches. And it's got a sensor on the back that can pick up uterine contractions. So basically you just, and it also comes with a belt. So you basically just wrap this device around your abdomen with the sensor pressing against your skin. And you obviously turn the device on. And as you have a contraction, your muscle contractions are being picked up by that sensor. And then that device will convert the analog data into digital data and send it to our paired mobile app, where the pregnant mom can view her contraction duration and frequency information on her app as it's happening, and also have the flexibility of sending this information to her physician remotely. So the biggest things with this device is that it eliminates the need for pregnant moms to, one, when they have a contraction, find a scrap piece of paper and a pen and kind of jot random numbers down. It's so hard to count properly while you're having a contraction, I'm sure, because you're in so much pain, let alone you're trying to look for all these like scrap sheets of paper to record. And then you're trying to count at the same time how long your contractions are. So this does it in a very digital and automated way. And also a lot of times when a mom starts having contractions, she's not sure if they're false positive or whether they're real. And real contractions mean you're about to deliver a baby. So with this method, she can measure contractions, share the data remotely with the physician, and the physician can make that intervention about, hey, your contractions are looking like a little more real. You need to come to the hospital or, you know, stay put at home. You're okay for now. So we really want to help mothers get that care past clinical walls. We're not trying to replace hospital contraction devices, just extending the care past clinical walls. And so that's one part of what we have developed. Another thing we've developed is our Mommy Care Box and platform, which is a kit of different smart devices like a weight scale, BP cuff, baby Doppler, pulse oximeter. We can even input our contraction device if needed. But basically, these devices really help moms track their health vitals to, again, record the data digitally at home and be able to share the data with their physician remotely. But also it's really key for women who have certain health conditions that may be high risk, like gestational diabetes or, you know, high blood pressure. So they can get their health vitals monitored regularly. And we also have a nurse monitoring platform that goes along with this, which, you know, obviously has nurses to monitor these women remotely, offer them guidance and care at their fingertips. And we also have AI-driven care plans that ask pregnant moms on the platform a series of questions, daily based on their pregnancy conditions. So if she is a gestational diabetes pregnancy, then she'll get questions more about like her weight, gestational diabetes needs specific to her, things like that. So that's the second part. And the third part that we're developing using our NIH grants is a MyFetalTronics device. So essentially, this is a contraction device that, the contraction device we developed with a fetal heart rate device connected to a centralized hub. And it's, again, very small, very portable, affordable. So again, not trying to replace hospital devices, but extend care into mothers' homes, because a billable event for physicians is measuring fetal heart rate and contractions together during labor. So now these measurements can be recorded in an easy, affordable, and portable way at home. And we are also working towards the FDA approval process with this device.
It's amazing. And, medical devices, that's no joke when it comes to getting those to market and kind of the approval process. Talk about what that's been like for you. How long of a process is it? Have you been approved on one? Are you in the middle of FDA testing to get approved? Kind of where are you at in that process of getting a medical device to market?
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's a long process. And again, I've got a great team who is helping me with getting all those milestones done. So currently we've been working on it for quite a while and we're in the middle of the FDA testing. We recently successfully passed all the testing involved with the biocompatibility aspect. So that was a nice little win for us. We're also working on some of our other testings right now for the device, and we expect to hopefully hear back from the FDA regarding approval by March or April of 2024.
Nice. Soon. That's soon. That's right on for the horizon. And, in our research and talking to you prior to this conversation, you signed a big deal in Uganda. And I think what you're doing is so timely, because when you started the company, shortly after COVID happened, and that was a tough time, for mothers to have to go into a hospital and put themselves at risk during a pregnancy, because it's not just, contractions actually meaning that I'm going to have my baby now. It's also the added layer of stress that I'm going to have to go into a situation where, there's COVID risk. I am not only thinking about myself now, but, I've got a baby, and if I get COVID, I've got to think about that baby as well. And so this device just seems so timely to keep people out of the hospital during COVID, but also, it's interesting with the piece that you mentioned about not just the timeliness there, but also who the target audience is with this Uganda deal and why that matters. Remote places in the world don't have easy access to hospitals. It's a trip. It's a major event to get ready and go to the hospital in some more remote areas. So talk about that deal and just maybe the timeliness of this product and why this deal is important.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The coincidental timeliness with the COVID pandemic and, the remote device industry all coming together. And, just the fact that we are making these remote care devices for pregnancies, especially during COVID. Yeah, it's been really hard because the mom is thinking not about herself only. She's also thinking about her baby. Both lives can be at stake. And having these devices for at-home use has been fueled by the need for it has been fueled by the COVID pandemic. And our main audience is, we want to help any pregnancy that needs it, but at the same time, specifically high-risk pregnancies or pregnancies in rural areas who don't have access to care or don't have pregnancy resources to adequately manage their care. You could be a pregnant mom living in New York City, but the nearest hospital is a mile away. But because of traffic, it takes, probably an hour or two to get to the hospital. We want to help moms like that too. So not just moms who live 2 hours away distance-wise, but also, who may not be able to get to the hospital in time, regardless of how far the hospital is. That's where we want to be helping moms at. And with the Uganda deal, we recently signed a deal with an organization in Uganda that helps take care of the health needs of the Batwa tribe in Uganda, which is a displaced forest tribe. And, you know, they currently have been monitoring pregnancy, vitals, contractions manually. They didn't have access to devices. And I'm really thankful that we can be there at the forefront to provide them these devices and services so that their community members can receive better pregnancy care.
Love that. It makes so much sense. And, you know, was that an RFP process or how did you, you know, go about even starting that deal? Where did that come from?
So it was actually very coincidental. I mentioned earlier, I got a full ride scholarship at Georgia Tech. So part of my scholarship community, we had a convention and I had a poster because there was an opportunity if you were an entrepreneur doing cool research, you could have a poster to present at the convention. So I had a poster and a STEM scholar from a different school across the US noticed my poster and he happened to be from Uganda and he had volunteered with this Batwa community before. So he was very well aware of their, you know, health gaps. And he suggested to me, hey, like, reach out to this founder. He might be interested in getting to know more about what you guys do. And so credits to him because he's the one who gave me this contact in the first place. But yeah, I reached out to the founder of the organization. You know, they were really interested in what we were doing. We were really interested in, you know, making a positive impact in their community and helping them. So it all worked out in the end.
Love it. Love it. That's how business gets started is, you know, kind of serendipity. And, you know, those early customers, you never know where they're going to come from. So yeah, that's a great story. Talk about competition. So I'm curious to know kind of what the competition and landscape business is in this space. I imagine it's a very large market and it's international. So talk about, you know, what that market looks like and how competitive it is and how you think about, you know, your differentiation from competitors that might be out there.
Yes, it's actually very interesting. A lot of people don't realize that women's health oftentimes gets overlooked. And recently it's been gaining a lot of attention, but it's still a very niche space, especially the pregnancy space itself is very niche. And, you know, there are some companies out there who are making remote care devices for contractions, things like that. But there are also startups and their products are, you know, a little more bulkier, more expensive. So they're not as affordable, portable, and easy to use as our devices are. So we stand out with those concepts and, you know, our innovative products.
Nice. And you mentioned briefly artificial intelligence. So this is just such a hot topic right now. I'm actually developing artificial intelligence projects, I think is my next thing. I love it. Been studying it. And one thing that I think is absolutely necessary when you have, you know, an artificial intelligence product is proprietary data that's unique that you're collecting. You have workflows to collect and you're not using or recycling, you know, somebody else's data. You guys have direct access to unique proprietary data on your customers. What do you have planned for artificial intelligence? How do you think about it related to, you know, fetal life going forward?
Yeah, like you said, artificial intelligence is a hot topic, especially in the past few years. It's really been growing into all kinds of businesses. So with the Kentucky Matching Grant that we received, we are trying to work on developing a AIML risk stratification model so that we can identify women who are high risk regarding, you know, different parameters such as, you know, regarding health complications in the past or currently and other, you know, pregnancy related or person specific related data points to develop that algorithm. And then also being able to use that algorithm to find out which women are high risk and need our devices the most so we can get the care to them specifically.
Yeah, love that. And talk about, you know, the future. You've got so much ahead of you. Again, I'm so excited. What you've experienced, what you've already built at this stage in your life is something that you should be super proud of, and your family and your team should be super proud of. So what does the future look like? You're about to graduate. How soon do you graduate?
I graduate in May 2024.
Okay. So you got several more months. So what does the future look like for you, but also your company as the years go on? Let's say looking forward maybe 3-5 years.
Yeah. So for the company, we really plan to grow this further over the next few years and really sign different partnerships across the globe and within the U.S. Because we do want to get our devices out to areas that need them, and people all across the world have, you know, issues with access to care, lack of resources, things like that. So we really want to be at the forefront of helping these women get the care that they need. And I really hope that Fetal Life continues to reach new heights. I have an awesome team behind me, and it wouldn't be possible without them where we are right now. And I know that, you know, they're going to help me and support me in all the years to come. So I'm very thankful to have them with me. And I, for me personally, after I graduate, my plan is to jump into Fetal Life full time as their CEO. So I'm very, very thrilled to do that. And, you know, working full time for something that I began simply as an idea, as a vision, and really coming to it now, it just is very full circle for me. I'm very honored and thankful, and it's very exciting.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can tell you put in the work. So you're going to fill that CEO role really well. You know, the experience you've gotten at a young age, you've gotten press, which at a young age, I'm sure is an interesting thing. And, you know, you've balanced it all with school and being a founder. So, you know, again, kudos to you. Excited to see where you go with it. If somebody wants to learn more about you and your company, where can they go?
Yeah, they can go to our website, just fetallife.com.
Love it. Okay, cool. And then if they want to find you, point them to maybe the best spot to learn more about you.
If they want to find me, I am in Atlanta, Georgia Tech. So if you're ever in the area, reach out. And Fetal Life is based in Prospect, Kentucky. So we are just around where the Kroger in Prospect is.
And you've got a LinkedIn. So I would point people that direction too, right? They don't need to literally come find you in Atlanta. Yeah.
Find me on LinkedIn, please.
Yeah, okay. Appreciate you. Thanks for jumping on.
Thank you so much for having me and for, you know, talking about Fetal Life.
Absolutely.
Really great to be here.
Yep. Excited to highlight the story.
Thank you all for tuning in. We hope you all enjoyed. Before signing off here, I just wanted to take a second to thank a lot of the people that make Middle Tech possible. So first off, I wanted to thank JP Blevins for letting us use his space to record. A big thank you to Jacob Spencer, our executive producer, and Lamaya Stearns for producing the episode and getting it out to all of you guys. And then a big thank you to TJ Barnett, Ethan Sharp, and Austin Short for producing all of our social content that goes out on our social channels. So just wanted to make sure that we're highlighting everyone that makes Middle Tech possible. It takes a lot of work to do what we do. And I wanted to make sure that everyone that plays a role in that is recognized and appreciated.